Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, Wednesday edition. As we head downhill to the weekend, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, and also you can listen to our show anytime, anywhere on your tablet and smartphone when you subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. Just search Steve Jones Show on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, or Google Play. Once we finish the shows live on WKOK, we archive them, can drop them to your smartphone and tablet, and you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And you can also find 3 months of shows archived all the time at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle, at stevejonespsu. Sunbury Motors, of course, the studio. And Steve will be in there in just a moment. Sean Carey here, and we will have our high school football play-by-play announcers coming up today. Going to bump up our high school football roundtable a day, since we will not have a Steve Jones Show tomorrow, Thursday, because of Phillies baseball. Phillies with a getaway game tomorrow afternoon at Colorado before they head home for the regular season series finale against the Atlanta Braves. Now, speaking of the Phillies, last night lost their season high 6th in a row. They have dropped 17 out of 23. They're 78-79. They've now dipped below 500 for the first time since April the 9th. That time they were 4-5. So how about this? Way back on August the 5th, well, maybe not way back, but almost 2 months ago, they were 63-48. They were 15 games over 500. They had the second best record in the entire National League on August the 5th. They were 63-48. Since then, they have gone 15-31. I mean, if they would have, between early August and this week, if they would have gone 500 with their away games, they probably would be, what, maybe two to three games only out of first place behind Atlanta? They'd have a puncher's chance this weekend.
Well, you know, here's the deal. If you and I sat down in late March, let's say the Phillies finish 81-81. Let's just say they do. Okay.
Much better than the last two seasons.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now you and I are looking at this as, wow, hey, our crystal ball says 81-81. That's really great. And we're looking at this. Okay? We feel good about it. The problem is we've watched how it played out. We've watched a collapse happen. That's the problem. Witnessing the collapse. So, yeah, that's a... Okay.
Yeah, while this has been going on.
I'm now reading your message here on...
Oh, okay.
On Twitter. In a few minutes today to catch up. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is Desmond with Game Day. Whatever. Seriously, I had two messages from... Okay. No idea who this is. All right. So, it's been one of those. What did I do? 4 talk shows yesterday?
Correct.
Today, I had to do an interview with Tanaya Page for a TV feature. Because this is the day Tanaya could do it. So I got Tanaya and Cookies. Then I did a voiceover for them as well for recruiting. And then I taped the TV show, Then I did the podcast for Dave Ennett. But he's the Northwestern play-by-play guy. So, I mean, you know, if one of the play-by-play guys asked me to do something, I always say yes. That's a non-starter for me. That's an automatic. Then we did the quarterback club. You know, now talk show time. Yeah.
And practice tonight.
Yeah, I think I'll stop. I'm going to go to basketball first. Basketball practice starting. Then I'm going to go over to football practice. Jack Ham's at 4:06 today, by the way. We have our high school roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have Josh, Greg.
Greg ready to go?
And
Dick Horton today.
The coach.
Coach today, yes.
Well, what happened to the play-by-play guy?
Busy today.
I have a note here from Jamie saying that's not true, based on her recent results.
He said Wednesday is his most challenging day of the week. Told me that this morning.
You and I have been around him for years. Every day is challenging. No offense. We don't see any easy ones.
Ted, the team that, speaking of challenging, it's these Colorado Rockies that the Phillies have lost their last 2-2, and they got two to go. I mean, the Rockies and the Dodgers are in quite a battle for the wild card in the National League West. So the Rockies gaining ground on L.A., now only a half game behind them. So we'll see how that shakes out with these last two games against Philly tonight and then tomorrow afternoon.
Colorado's been good. I mean, they made the playoffs last year, too. They were in the one-game playoff with Arizona. So
yeah, they have a 23-year-old that's closing in on a single-season franchise record for strikeouts for the Rockies.
Well, Scherzer, by the way, speaking of strikeouts, struck out his 300th last night. But football rules the roost, my man. It rules it. And so does Tiger Woods right now. Tiger did very well and in the ratings for golf, very well.
I still picture in my mind that huge sea of people that was behind him as he was walking up to the final green on Sunday. I mean, that's something that you would see year in and year out at the British Open, that they'd let them, you know, the leader would walk up 18. I can't remember the last time that's ever happened on a USA course in a PGA Tour.
I have not seen that. I thought the security was great. Did better than football. You know, how do you look at the NFL now?
Well, after seeing roughing the passer penalties, four in the first half in the Steelers-Tampa Bay game on Monday night, it's getting much more, I don't want to say harder, it's just getting much more challenging to watch. I mean, you like to see flow in a game, and it's just breaking the flow too much. I mean, we're watching TV shows with the quarterbacks, the star of the show, and I just think the NFL has really come down hard on these referees, and there's a lot of new head referees this season. I mean, half a dozen, six or seven retired last year, including Gene Steratore and Ed Hockley, to name a few. So you've got new guys in there, and you figure they're getting their orders from headquarters on Park Avenue saying, hey, you gotta throw down the law of the land here and make sure these quarterbacks stay upright.
Right. I understand that.
But the way they want the defensive players to now tackle the quarterback to make sure what's legal and not legal, I mean what's legal and what's not legal, I don't know what they expect them to do when you got the laws of gravity and physics that that will remain undefeated.
But I'm not finding the NFL to be an exciting game to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've always enjoyed the NFL. Always have enjoyed it. It just seems so scripted.
Well, when I'm looking at the games for our pick segment on Friday, I'm looking at the matchups, and it's like, nope, don't care about that one. Don't care about that game. Nah, we're not going to pick that game. No, that doesn't have any sizzle to it.
Then there's college. College is 180 of that. I mean, it's 180.
You just have that built-in excitement and tradition year in, year out when it comes to college football that you just don't get on any other day and with any other sporting event, whether it's college or pro.
Right.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, you had an awesome finish between LSU and Auburn. And then this past weekend, you saw Old Dominion with one of the greatest upsets in recent college football history with that tremendous win over Virginia Tech. And then what happens in that game? Va Tech loses their starting quarterback, which probably could be for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not just the upsets. It's just the game. You watch Stanford and Oregon. I mean, incredible game. You know, they play different styles. They're not the same athletes as the NFL. They aren't. The best players are in the National Football League.
We should have saw that coming, though. The most deceiving score in football, whether it's college or pro, is 24-7. How many times have we seen teams come back down 24-7? It's like in the NHL, if you have a... What's the not really secure lead in the NHL? Like what, 2-0?
Yeah.
Or 3-1?
Right, yeah. The next goal kind of determines which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
But in college, the different styles of offense, the different kinds of quarterbacks, you know, you have Army running its offense, which is different than anything Oklahoma sees, and they take them to overtime. They take them to overtime. Okay, but it's a completely different style of play. The Illinois style of play is different than the Ohio State style of play, which is different than the Appalachian State style of play, which is different than the Kent State style of play. I mean, the styles of play are different. They're varied. Yeah, you see mistakes. They're college players. Okay? So there's something about the NFL. It's missing something right now. And not only that, I'll tell you what they're also missing. They're missing fans in the stands. There are a lot of empty seats in NFL games now. Lots and lots of empty seats.
I noticed Friday night for the Penn State Illinois game, they had a lot of sky shots going in and out of the commercial breaks.
They're not drawing. I told you that on the show Friday going in.
Yeah.
That the crowd was not going to be big. And that they drew only 21,000 at Soldier Field. So Illinois is not drawing. In basketball, they are. They're selling basketball out of Illinois. They are not even anywhere close to doing that in football. And yet, college football has seen a decline in attendance every year. That's why Penn State has gone against the grain with all the attendance increases the last couple of years. They've gone against the grain of the trend in college. But in the NFL, you look at sky shots of stadiums, there are tons and tons of empty seats. And not only that, but you have fans in stadiums that will sell their tickets to opposing fans, and they'll be the ones in the stadium. I mean, they'll be the ones. And that's where, for example, take the Steelers. The Steelers have a fan base that goes everywhere. Everywhere. They go to Dallas, Steeler fans, tons of them. They go to Tampa, more than half the stadium, they're fans. Okay? Okay? And they've got all that. Hey, that's why I've always felt one of the factors when they play New England in Foxborough. You know, obviously, New England's well coached. They have great talent, awesome quarterback. I got all that part. But it's the one place where the Steelers absolutely are at a distinct disadvantage playing on the road because they don't have any of their fans there. They have no fans. It's like an actual road game where, like, Roethlisberger walks out and goes, oh, so this is how it is. And you look at the empty seats. I mean, their fans are selling their tickets left and right.
Well, it's like the older guard that loved to go to football games when they were younger. You know, those now approaching mid-50s, 60 years old, and they're finally updating their technology in their home. Yep, I got a great 60-inch TV above the fireplace. I'm just going to, you know, kick back. Like Todd Blackledge said, you know, he told us what he's going to be doing Saturday night after he finishes his game on Saturday afternoon. He's going to, you know, grab a bag of popcorn and catch the show, catch the whiteout. So that's just much more enticing now.
I mean,
especially for the NFL.
Stanford plays at Notre Dame. It's going to be opposite the Penn State Ohio State game. Notre Dame Stadium is going to be sold out. Ohio State's playing at Penn State. This place is going to be sold out, all in white. All in white. Right? You know, if you carry a Georgia game, if you carry an Alabama game, if you carry when Ohio State's at home, whatever, there's energy in those places. There's no energy in an NFL stadium. Maybe in Green Bay, maybe in Denver.
I've mentioned this to you a couple of years ago. Like, you'd hear Zombie Nation in Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
And then I'd go to a Steelers game, and they'd play it a couple times here and there leading up to a kickoff. Oh, it's, you can't even compare. I'm not saying Heinz Field's like a library compared to Beaver Stadium, but
no.
Oh, but it's not as rambunctious.
I mean, pro crowd, pro attitude. I mean, I got it. I mean, it's, I understand that. College is a little bit different. You know, and I mean, let's face it, this is a night game. It's going to be here. It's going to be finely tuned crowd. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Before you head to the Bloomsburg Fair, stop and get to Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors is going to price all new Fords at a level that makes it impossible to say no. You'll be feeling great driving to the fair in a 2018 Ford Escape for only $18,820. Sunbury Motors Ford wants to continue selling seven Fords a day through the Bloomsburg Fair. Pack up the family in your 2018 Explorer. Explorers start under $30,000 at SMC, and they have 20 to choose from. Every Edge, Focus, Fusion, Fiesta, EcoSport will be discounted for SMC to sell seven new Fords every day through the end of the fair. Sunbury Motors has 70 new F-150s marked down to as low as $25,969 and just announced 0% for 72 months on F-150s. You'll save thousands over the term of your loan. SMC needs seven sales every day through the end of the Bloomsburg Fair. We'll see you at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
The Red Sox are winning 12-3. It's that makeup game from the rain out yesterday.
Well, Baltimore's still in the wild card hunt, so it's a pretty important game. No? Maybe.
The Red Sox at the moment have 61 more wins than the Orioles.
It's just sick.
And if they close this baby out, they'll have 62 more wins.
Pride is on the line.
Now, I could tell you right now, Betts, Benintendi, Martinez, Bogarts, Xander Bogarts, Moreland, Kinsler, Devers will not be in the lineup for the second game tonight. Sorry. The drive to get to 108 is not going to be that intense.
Maybe they'll just pitch pitchers from the bullpen tonight.
Look, it's going to be some guy that pitched at Pawtucket. Here you go. Here's your chance to contribute to history. Oh,
you've
my god.
Waited
goodness.
Since April for this.
You waited your entire career to pitch at Fenway Park, and you're going to face a team that has less talent than Rochester.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Jack Ham at 4:06 today. And tomorrow we're off because of the Phillies and the Rockies. And then back on Friday, the King will be on. And we might still get somebody from Game Day on, by the way, from ESPN Game Day. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Okay. Let's get to it. Seals Grove is going to play Loyal Sock this week. Zach Showers now joins us. Hi, Zach. How have you been?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Steve?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Selins Grove, look, every team's different, and we pretty much knew from week to week what to expect in recent years. How difficult has it been for Selins Grove to maintain a game-to-game momentum?
It's been very tough. This is a team that has lost week 1, 3, and 5 and has won weeks 2 and 4. A lot of it has just been the schedule. I think just looking the past couple of years, this is by far the toughest opening 5-game stretch that we've had in a number of years. And when you're playing good teams, you're seeing some growth, but you're also seeing some struggles and things that you can work on from a game to game basis. So it's been tough to get some momentum, but I think even last week losing to Berwick 21-7, there were some lows in that game, but there were also a number of things that, you know, from the broadcast booth and talking to the coaches, there's a lot of good things that came out of that game. And I think while there's still some tough teams on the schedule the rest of the way, I think there's a lot to look forward to on the second half of the season here.
Has it been tough at times for the coaching staff to make adjustments because everybody's still trying to learn each other as opposed to the known entities of years gone by?
I think a little bit. I would say that more that the first 2 or 3 weeks. I would say the last 2 or 3 weeks there's been a little bit more consistency as far as offense and defense. You're seeing, you know, sophomores and juniors that are stepping into roles, and you know, now we're talking about guys that have started 4 or 5 games as opposed to guys that haven't seen any time on the varsity level. But you see that especially on offense right now. There's been a lot of mixing and matching with the offensive line. Danny Schock, the quarterback, while he's been really good in 2 of his starts, has struggled the past 3 weeks and really struggled this past week, and had a lot of defenders on him very quickly and having to make quick reads. So I would say there's a little bit of that, but overall I think the coaching staff feels pretty good moving forward, and just need to put a couple consistent efforts the next few weeks here.
All right, what are going to be some of the keys in the matchup with Loyal Sock coming up?
Well, Loyal Sock, just like Selins Grove, comes into the game with a 2-3 record. They had a lot of high expectations going into the season, especially starting with their quarterback, Connor Watkins, who has a number of Division I offers. Unfortunately, a few weeks ago, I believe he broke his collarbone, and he's been out. I'm not sure if he's out for the season, but definitely has been out the past 3 weeks. And Loyal Sock, who is averaging over 30 points per game, has only scored 15 points the last 2 weeks since he's been out. One strength from the Berwick game was the Selins Grove defense was just lights out. They had 4 sacks, 7 tackles for a loss, forced 4 turnovers. So despite the loss there, they've been playing with a lot of confidence. And I think if this Selins Grove team is able to get a lead on Friday night early, you're going to see a Loyal Sock team that hasn't scored a lot of points since Watkins is out and still is kind of looking for what their identity is. And I think a big key is just getting some protection, getting Danny Schock to make some easy throws and getting his confidence back. He was sacked 8 times by the Berwick defense on Friday night, and also threw 3 interceptions. So a lot of it, I think, is just continuing to get confidence, continuing to develop the offensive line, just feeling good about the season and good about the team moving forward.
Zach, a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Selins Grove playing at Loyal Sock and Eagle 107. That will be a 7 o'clock kickoff with a 6 o'clock airtime at Eagle 107. Let's transition now to Central Mountain playing at Shikellamy. That you'll hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The coach, Dick Court, joins us. Coach, great to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be here, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. They scored a couple times in the game the other night. What did you see in their ability to get some points on the board, and what does that do at least for some semblance of offensive confidence?
Well, you know, like you said, they scored the 2 touchdowns, 13 points, which is the first points we've scored in 15 quarters. So you could see a little bit of confidence come into the team, especially after the 75-yard pass play, and they tied the score at 7-7. But as the game went on, Jersey Shore got pretty physical with them, and they kind of went backwards a little bit, and the final score was 35-13, which was not good at all for Shikellamy.
Yeah, all right, so let's get into that. Are teams able to control not just yardage but the clock against Shikellamy, keeping them off the field?
Oh, yeah, really. This year, Shikellamy has been outgained on the ground by over 1,000 yards in five games. That's over 200 yards a game. When you think about that, that means the opposition has the ball. They're moving the ball offensively up and down the field. That keeps our offense on the sideline. That keeps us from scoring, and it also keeps us from getting these young kids that we have in there from getting much experience.
All right. How tough has it been for a coaching staff to attempt to make adjustments where maybe they don't have the options to adjust with?
It's tough. It's tough. Being there myself many times over the years, yep. When you try to do things and you have young people, people that are inexperienced, people who haven't been there, you can teach and teach and teach and preach and practice all you want. But till they get into the game and get some experience and get that under their belt and get that feeling of being there and doing that, it becomes really tough to be consistent.
All right, so now Central Mountain. That will be the game at Shikellamy coming up on Friday night here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. What are going to be some keys based on what you know about Central Mountain and what Shikellamy can and can't do?
Well, first of all, looking at Central Mountain. Central Mountain is scoring about 10 points a game, but they're giving up about 47 points a game.
Right.
In the Williamsport Sun-Gazette, they have 17 teams in their coverage area. On the defensive side of things, Central Mountain is ranked 16th. The only team worse than them defensively is Williamsport, who's given up tons of yardage. On the offensive side, Central Mountain is in the middle of the pack. They're running about 289 yards a game. That means that they have some weapons on offense that are doing some things. Now, whether that's happening during garbage time or legitimate football time, I don't know. I would suspect that they're piling up some yardage in garbage time. But it does mean that they have some people that can make plays. They have a wide receiver by the name of Colin Jones. He's 6'3", 215 pounds. He's caught 16 passes for 403 yards. That's 25 yards of completion. You know, that's going to be a problem for Shikellamy because our defensive backs aren't anywhere near that size. The kid on the other side, I don't recall his name, but he's 6'2", 200 pounds, and he's piled up a lot of yardage. And those people are going to cause Shikellamy problems. Now, defensively, Central Mountain has really got problems. They're giving up 10.5 yards per play. Offensively, they're gaining 5.2 yards per play. Well, that's good. That's well. But when you're giving up a first down every time the other team touches the ball, you're going to have a hard time winning football games. On the other side of the ball, Shikellamy's got getting 3.2 yards per offensive play, but they're giving up 6.2. So if you look at those figures, you might say that this could be a heck of a football game. They've got a terrible defense. Our offense hasn't been gangs out lights out this year, so maybe our defense or our offense can get gone against their defense, and they're going to give our defense some problems too. So this could be a heck of a football game.
Looking forward to it on Friday night. Coach, thanks so much for your time. It's always great to have you with us.
All right. See you, Steve.
All right. The coach, Dick Hort, joining us. And Shikellamy will be at home taking on Central Mountain. That will be Friday night at 7, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And up at Bloomsburg University, Bloomsburg is going to host Lewisburg coming up on Friday night at 7, 6:30 the airtime at 100.9 The Valley. Greg Wetzel joins us. Greg, welcome back. Great to hear from you.
Great to be here, Steve.
All right, Greg, give me an assessment of where you think Lewisburg is through its five games.
Last week I would have said they were in great shape.
Yeah.
But after Friday night's game, I don't know where they are, and I think that's the coaching staff is wondering where they are right now also. They laid an egg, essentially, on Friday night. They threw two interceptions that were returned for touchdowns in the first quarter. on the second play of scrimmage that Shamokin had the ball in the first quarter. They went 65 yards for a touchdown. So they ran two offensive plays and had 20 points in the first quarter. And Lewisburg turned the ball over on their own on Shamokin's inside their five-yard line. So it's a question right now. Everybody wants to know, on the coaching staff and the players are asking, how good are we right now?
Well, now here's the part. What do they have that, in your opinion, they build upon, and what has been the part that has consistently crept up and kept them from being a team that can get on a roll?
Just little mistakes, Steve. Like last week, they on the second interception, they ran a double slot. The slot man was supposed to go in motion, never went in motion.
Right.
So what did he do when the ball was snapped? He stood there. The free safety was covering him. He's the one that intercepted the ball and returned it for a touchdown because, you know, his receiver essentially did nothing. So he was standing in the middle of the field, roaming the field, caught the ball and returned it untouched 65 yards for a touchdown. So that's one little thing. The other thing, they've had some penalties at costly times. Not major penalties, but like an offsides penalty or illegal procedure penalty or not enough men on the line of scrimmage, those type of things. That's what's kept them from being really consistent offensively. The good thing they have offensively is Max Moyers. You know, he's rushed right. for 845 yards through five games. So that's what's kept them going in the ball game.
Okay, so now they get to this point, and they've got the matchup with Bloomsburg. What are a couple of the key matchups, Greg, that you're going to look for that you think end up being swing matchups in this game?
Well, it's the offensive line, and the reason I say that, Steve, is Bloomsburg runs a multiple defense. They run an even man front, and then they'll switch to an odd man front. They'll go a four-man front to a six-man front. So yesterday at practice, that's what the coaches were working on. That's, they strictly had the offensive line and the defensive setup of Bloomsburg just running through all plays and all blocking assignments that they had. They're switching up. If Lewisburg doesn't make the mental mistakes there, they're going to have some big plays in the offensive backfield with Max Moyers running, because they have eight guys around the line of scrimmage. Max breaks through. He has some big runs coming if they block it the correct way. But Bloomsburg tries to confuse you with the multiple defensive fronts there.
Greg, let me ask you something just in general here, not specific and germane to Lewisburg, but you get to watch a lot of different teams. How do you feel about the level of play of high school football today?
Today, I think it's better this year than it has been in previous years. I think there's better coaching going on in the area, especially in District 4. I think coaching is better. I think the one thing that concerns me the most is that we're starting to see a lot of, I want to say this, you were talking about pros and colleges, you know, versus
yeah.
pros college early.
Yeah.
I think we're trying to see a lot of people emulate the college game and try to run a wide open offense.
Yeah, the spread. You talk about seeing more spreads in the high
yeah.
school level because that's how the college game plays it.
Exactly. And I don't see that many quarterbacks that are capable of making those kind of reads at the high school level.
That's a good point. No, that is a good point. Greg, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
100.9 The Valley will be the matchup of Lewisburg and Bloomsburg at Bloomsburg University, 7 o'clock. Friday night, 6:30 the airtime. Sealands Grove at Loyal Sock on Eagle 107 on Friday night, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6 o'clock the airtime. And Central Mountain at Shikellamy, 7 o'clock the kickoff, and 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jack Hamm, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. And Dan Patrick is exactly right. That's not called retiring. That's called quitting. Hey, he quit.
Okay.
Hey, he didn't retire. Vontae Davis did not retire. He quit at halftime. There is a difference between the two. The new transfer rule, or the new rule on redshirting, this is week five. Well, for those who are looking around saying, I'm a veteran. I'm not playing. I think I'm going to transfer and then not and make sure that I don't get credit for this year. Kelly Bryant of Clemson did that today. Trevor Lawrence was named the starting quarterback at Clemson, as Ty Blackledge outlined for us on the show yesterday. Kelly Bryant was a no-show at practice Monday and Tuesday. Announced today he's transferring. Kelly Bryant played four games this year, so he's not going to lose a year of eligibility. But it should be pointed out, and Kelly Bryant's because it sounds like he is actually going to graduate, so his ability to play right away next year is at hand. But there is an element to this transfer rule that a lot of people don't realize, or the redshirt rule that a lot of people don't realize. Say Sean, for example, is a good running back. He's played his first 2 years, and he now goes on his third year, and for whatever reason, they have recruited an absolute phenom who beat Sean out at running back. Sean does play in the first four games. Then looks around and says, hey, look, I'm not going to forfeit my junior year of eligibility. Okay? I'm going to transfer. So Sean transfers. Guess what Sean, you know, if Sean doesn't get his degree, guess what he has to do next year? He has to sit out. He doesn't have his degree. He has to sit out. So he would not be playing again until 2020. Now, because he's played his first 2 years, he would still have 2 years of eligibility remaining because he didn't waste a third year. This year, he played in four games. Now, there's the other part of it. Say, for example, Sean redshirted his freshman year. Now he gets to play his redshirt freshman season. He plays well. Comes out for his redshirt sophomore season, and he's beaten out by the phenom. So he doesn't, you know, he plays the four games, but then he's out. Well, guess what? He's still got to sit out next year, and he only has 1 year of eligibility remaining. It's a very interesting rule.
That's an interesting caveat, because I thought some people just automatically assumed, okay, yeah, you can transfer, and boom, when you get to that next next destination, okay, I'm going to be good to go and may end up in their starting lineup next year, the following year.
You still have, if you have not graduated, you still have to get your degree to play right away. Now, I don't know if they're going to modify this. You're saying, well, how do you modify it? Take, for example, in college basketball, you can play someplace like in right before Christmas, you say, I'm going to transfer. You transfer and you start the spring semester at the other school where you sit out, and then you go to the fall semester with your new school. But then say you transferred on December 20th of 2018, you'd be eligible to play December 21st of 2019. So do you modify this rule and you say, okay, first five games you played four, with your last game being September 22nd, which was last Saturday, you would be then eligible to play September 23rd next year. Do you modify it in that way if you elect to transfer at that point? It's something they need to look into. I think some have said it's an unintended consequence, but I've talked about this rule so many times, Sean. You know, I've brought this up, that it's not, it's not an unintended consequence. It's because everybody thought they were going to change the transfer rules starting in August, that you could play right away, and they never did it. And because they never did it, the rules stayed the same. Jack Ham, next half hour.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.